Please call the roll.
Art.
Here.
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Here.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Here.
John Heberlet.
Here.
And John Hogue.
Here.
Okay, we're all present. Time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for the meeting of January 6, 2014. Entertain a motion for that approval.
So move.
Is there a second? Okay, any discussion? Any changes? Clerk, call the roll. Are all those in favor of the minutes of January 6, 2014 be accepted? Say aye.
Aye.
That's quicker. Okay, now we're looking for if there's any amendments or a motion for the approval of tonight's meeting agenda. Mr. Hope.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to get on either this agenda or the next one a discussion about reviewing the borough charter to discuss any potential changes for it. So if we decide to put any to the voters, that we can do that in a timely manner.
Okay. Maybe we could put that on the February 3rd agenda, Kathy? Does that work for you, Mr. Hope?
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any amendments for tonight's agenda? All those in favor of the way of tonight's agenda is set, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll work with the agenda before us. There's no public hearings or bid awards. Is there any visitors' views related to the agenda? And I see some people from the hospital board here, so if you want to, I guess you don't really know what kind of a discussion we're going to have, so maybe we'll let you chime in then. It might make more sense. So, is there any visitors' views related to the agenda in the audience? Seeing none, is there any visitors' views unrelated to this evening's agenda? Okay, board, commission, and committee reports. There is none on this evening's agenda. There's no items on the consent agenda. Report of other officers. It was scheduled to have Hannah Funt, school district student representative, report. I don't see her with us this evening, so if she comes in later, well, maybe she thought the meeting was going to start at 7, so if she comes in, we'll let her give her report at that time. And that brings us to the mayor's report. There's a few items on the agenda printed, and then I've added a couple things. The first item on the mayor's report this evening is a vacancy announcement. There's another vacancy on the library board. Residents interested in serving as a library board member until the October 2014 election should submit a letter of interest to myself or the borough clerk. In addition, there remains a vacancy on the hospital board. And the Tongass Advisory Committee. The Department of Agriculture has given notice of intent to establish an advisory committee for the Tongass nominations and applications are to be sent to Nicole McMurrin, U.S. Forest Service, Post Office Box 309, Petersburg, Alaska. And it sounds like they're planning on redoing the Tongass Management Plan. Is that the way I understand it? And they're looking for people to be on the committee. So that's who you would send your interest to, is Nicole McMurrin at the Forest Service, Box 309. Rescheduling of the second meeting in February. The possibility of a lack of quorum for the February 18th assembly meeting exists, and MRB Architects will have a schematic drawing and preliminary cost estimate for the refurbishment of this building available for the assembly review prior to the lobbying trip planned for the week of February 17th. To accommodate the Assembly's review of drawings and cost estimates prior to their submittal to the legislature, I'm requesting Assembly consideration to reschedule the second meeting of February to noon, Friday, February 14th. This would make the regular meeting schedule for February, Monday, February 3rd at noon, and Friday, February 14th at noon. And that way Steve and I would have the Assembly's direction on where to go with the new information on this building for the police department and to redo the upstairs for the administration. There will be a Board of Equalization training. The state assessor, will be traveling to Petersburg to provide training to the assembly on March 17th. This is a regular meeting night, and the training is tentatively planned to be conducted immediately before the meeting, so we will schedule that as the time gets closer. Also, I'd like to add to the mayor's report, I will be in Juneau from March 2nd through the 10th. I won't be available for the first meeting in March, which is the 3rd. I should be in town for the second meeting in March, but after that I will be herring pounding. I'll be gone both meetings in April and possibly the first meeting in May. And I'll be back until mid-June when the salmon season starts, and then probably not till fall. Just so you guys have a heads up. And you hear all that, Cindy?
I did.
Okay.
I had to take it off mute, I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, that's all for the mayor's report. Now we'll move to the manager's report, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The sales tax committee continues to meet, and they're scheduled for meetings on February 4th and February 25th. They're hoping to formulate a recommendation for the assembly that would be taken up by the assembly on February 25th meeting. Transient room tax meeting, they met on January 16th to review the outstanding grants that have been funded through TRT and that have not yet been completed, and they'll be working through that process. Notices have been sent out to the community service organizations that their request for budgeted funds is due by March 15th, so that's the date that the folks need to get the requests into Jody so we can start the process of including them or getting them in front of the assembly to be approved or denied for the budget process. The annual DARE classes have started. Officer Jared Popp will be administering the program to the fifth graders for the next 10 weeks. The police and jail building, as you heard, project continues. The architects met with staff on January 16th and 17th to kind of go through a preliminary plan. It appears, and this is really, really tight, we will have plans plus a cost estimate on that meeting of the 14th, and we leave on the 16th for Juneau. So that's kind of our timeline. Kelly G. Swihart met with Coast Guard Sector Juneau Commander and Lieutenant Commander in reference to possible joint efforts between the Coast Guard and the Petersburg Police Department, something we've been trying to encourage for a lot of different reasons, and they seem to be interested in working with us on some things. We have some classes coming up for the fire EMS areas. Sandy will be teaching an emergency trauma technician course January 20th through February 10th. And Ryan is working on the schedule for Firefighter 1 course to start around February 15th. Again, we're looking for volunteer firemen and EMS folks if you're interested. We have, through Sandy, we've contacted some target participants for a mass rescue and hazmat response workshop, which will take place in Petersburg February 4th through the 5th. And the Incident Command System 402, which is an orientation to the incident command system that the feds use, will also be taught on February 2nd from 6 to 10 with the target audience of elected officials, myself, and agency administrators, etc. It's kind of the high-level look at the NIMS, ICS system. NIMS is the National Incident Management System. ICS is Incident Command System, and it's how we're supposed to organize ourselves in the event of a big disaster to work with primarily outside agencies, but also internally. Sandy continues to work with the Southeast Region EMS Symposium that looks like they will be in Petersburg April 10th through the 13th for their conference, so they'll be in town. Library has had a 40% increase over 2012's activity from October to December. Works out to just about 19,000 items checked out in 3 months, so getting good news and people are using the library. The artwork at the library by Doris Olson in the children's room and Beth Floor on the main stack area have been installed in the library as we're working through the whole list of the donated artwork and funded artwork and getting it installed in the library. North Harbor main float number 2 is in the process of being installed. All the main floats and pilings are here, and Anchor Electric is on site and set up in the process of building the power pedestals. The new 85-foot customized ramp, if you haven't seen it, looks pretty good. That's down there in the North Harbor. Harbor is also working with Public Works to address the bulkhead at the top of the North Harbor launch ramp. We've got some failures going on there, and it's causing the bank to slip away and doing some damage to the road. Materials have been ordered to replace the wooden bulkhead to allow Public Works to backfill and kind of shore that up. Harbor will be assisting the Coast Guard fishing vessel safety exam team, which is scheduling individual exams of the fleet. Dates are January 27th through the 29th. You can stop by or call the Harbor office to get on their schedule. GLOW just finished with all sorts of people, TAMICO and the subs and P&D on the pre-construction meeting, for the drive-down project. So demo of the old AFS dock will be the first step, and so we'll start seeing work on that as they get themselves mobilized. We'll be advertising for the crane dock widening project on January 23rd. Congratulations to some new additions to our fleet. Troy Thomason bought the Empress and brought her to town. Colin Martin Jr. bought the Ascension and renamed her the Foxy Lady. And Niles Thomas bought the Barbara. All new additions to our fleet here. We are holding off on the demolition on 1011 Wrangell Avenue, pending recommendation by the attorney. Leo and Carl went over there, and we did obtain samples of some flooring materials in the house for the purpose of analyzing it for asbestos content. It'll take a while for those results to get back, but we'll know prior to demolition or whatever what we have to do and if we have to treat that any separate from the rest of the demolition. The water plant staff is looking at some statewide discharge permit for the water treatment plants. Alaska DEC has been drafting various statewide permits since taking over from the water discharge from the state from the federal government. The unfortunate part about it is the new permits may require us to spend a little more money, and Carl's group's kind of looking through all those proposed regulations to make sure that our discharge coming off the backwash lagoon is going to meet the new codes. So we'll know more prior to the budget, but we'll be back in front of the assembly to talk about those impacts as we get them. Petersburg Indian Association took a tour of the wastewater plant to look at how we do our sludge processing. The tribe is interested in composting the sludge from the treatment plant and possibly producing a marketable or at least safe and usable compost from the process. It may sound a little odd, but look up the city of Amarillo in Texas sometime, and they have a product called Amarillo Dirt or Dillo Dirt, and that's their sludge process that they compost, and they sell it or give it away as compost all over town. So not an uncommon thing that's done anymore. The recycling program is getting really close to kicking off. Some really good news recently. The recycling vendor has now indicated that all plastic lids and caps will be accepted, as well as labels on tin cans do not need to be removed. So that will not, we can leave those on. And waxed cardboard products, clean fish boxes, milk cartons, juice boxes, cereal boxes that have that wax coating are going to be acceptable. So, again, more and more we actually will be able to recycle unless we're going into the waste stream. And the draft RFP for recycling collection services that will be advertised in February is almost complete. We had some people interested in it beyond just PIA, so it looks like there might be some competition on at least potentially for that, providing that service to the borough. So that's it, unless there's questions for me.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
You said the ICS class was February 2nd from 6 to 10. That's a Sunday.
Third. Thank you.
Okay.
I apologize.
Steve, I have two questions. One, every so often I walk around town, like daily, because I'm too cheap to drive. But I was going down Wrangell Avenue and past the house that you had mentioned, and the doors were wide open. There was a lot of garbage in the hallway. The floors are rotted out. And I'm really concerned that kids are going to get in there, or some homeless people. And is there any way we can at least ask the owners to apply wood off the entrances and windows so no one gets hurt? Or there's a lot of kids that just run around through there, and it's really tempting. And just being with the schools, it's an attractive nuisance, and I don't want to see us getting sued for.
As I understand it, and I'm, Leo, please jump in and correct me if I say anything wrong here. We got a request today to put a dumpster over at that facility by one of the owners to start emptying some of the contents out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I consider that good news, sure, that they're starting on. It does not necessarily solve the problem of access to that location. I think you're correct. I think we need to probably talk to them, and we can talk to the attorney later in the meeting, since this is a court case at this point, to find out what we need to do. We want them to empty the stuff out, but the building has to be secured when they're not working down there as well. So we'll see what we can do.
And the only other comment I had is on the PIA composting thing with the sludge from the sewage treatment plant. We looked at that about 5 years ago, again with PIA, and the only caveat they said is EPA said was to make sure that if you do sell it or reuse it, to make sure you warn people not to use it for their gardens.
Yes.
You know, it's for lawns or something like that.
Flower beds.
Right, yeah. So.
Okay, any other questions of the manager on this report? Okay, thanks, Steve. Seeing none, we'll move on to unfinished business. And there's ordinances for third and final reading this evening. The first one is Ordinance 2013-23. An ordinance providing for Chapter 3.52, Public Library of the Municipal Code, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation, and providing for the retention of an elected library board for the borough. I'll entertain a motion to adopt this in its third and final reading.
So moved.
For a second.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Logadakis, to adopt Ordinance 2013-23 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Mr. Hogue?
Mr. Mayor, I will be voting against this because I believe that the board should be appointed instead of elected, and its turnover that we've seen somewhat adds to the fact that it's realistically being appointed, at least in the short term. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion on Ordinance 2013-23? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John Heverlett?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
John Hogue?
No.
Okay, Ordinance 2013-23 passes 6-1 in its third and final reading. The next ordinance in its third reading is Ordinance 2013-24, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2014 budget for known changes. The Harbor Department is requesting consideration to amend the ordinance to provide an additional $16,000 to the maintenance and repair line item to provide resurfacing of the South Harbor access ramps. Funds are available in the department's reserves, but they're not budgeted. So I would entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2013-24 in its third and final reading.
So moved. Second.
Been moved by Member Walhooter, seconded by Member Haverlick, to adopt Ordinance 2013-24 in its third and final reading. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
And that question is there going to be a provision in next year's budget to replace the money in the reserve? The $16,000 that will be removed from it?
Glow, can you answer that? Is that just part of the raw fish tax money that comes
to
your department?
Yeah, we ended up receiving a couple $100,000 extra over what we budgeted. We budgeted a real conservative number of $150,000, and we got a better part of $400,000 in the Harbor Reserve. So we're considerably ahead of where we started when we put this budget together over a year ago. So we feel that we have the money. Next year's raw fish taxes should be, which is based on this year's fish return, should be much higher. So we feel pretty good about those numbers coming in.
Does that answer your question?
So then, to answer my question then you say, yeah, it will be replaced, and yeah, the reserves will probably be higher next year?
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing?
We're an enterprise fund, so we have a similar to a savings account, and that number, or that we're trying to build that number for towards depreciation, which is, this is a depreciation project. So, yeah, we're doing pretty well in that regard.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, any other discussion? We need to have a motion to amend the ordinance to add this line item expenditure.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Haverlick, to add $16,000 as a maintenance and repair line item to provide for resurfacing in the South Harbor for their access ramps. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Okay, will the clerk call the roll on the amendment?
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Hope?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
And John Heberlitz?
Yes.
Okay, so the amendment passes to add that line item to the annual budget for the harbor. Now, is there any more discussion on the main motion as amended?
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question here about this ordinance. I know we've kind of changed things here where, you know, if the harbor, you know, gets into a situation where they need to have some emergency money because a piling falls over or whatever, it has to go through three readings before they can possibly repair it. Doesn't that seem a bit silly when, you know, they should have maybe some sort of reserve budget someplace where they could just come to the assembly and say, we need to pull some money out of this account because we need to replace pilings or we need to place a dock that somebody destroyed instead of waiting 6 weeks.
Steve, can you answer that?
I can answer it a couple of different ways. First is the way our charter is set up, any budget, non-budgeted items have to be done in ordinance form, and it requires three readings. Now, one of the things that, this is in some ways new to us too. I mean, this is not how we used to have to do things. Jody and I and Glo spoke, you know, about creating, like we've done in the general fund, where we put a contingency fund in, budgeted, basically not attached to anything, just said 90,000 in the general fund. I think it's 90,000 this year, just in case. Now what that does is allows to say it's budgeted, and but still has requires assembly approval, but just one reading. It's just a, we'd like to spend some of the contingency money that's already budgeted on this item. So if we do that in the enterprise funds, or those enterprise funds that we can do that in, that will solve part of this. Something like a piling or that's a little more pricey, you know, as long as it would fit inside that contingency fund, it works. If it fits under my spending authority and it's budgeted like that, then we can go ahead and especially in an emergency, and then I come back and inform you, I took a chance, guys, and I approved it. But the only other way to do that, would, if you wanted to change it, would be to change the charter.
Right. Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was wondering, if we shouldn't maybe start thinking about setting aside these little contingency things for these enterprise funds so that it does just come before the assembly for our approval without having to go through ordinance.
Yeah. We did it for the general fund this year, and it seems to have worked really, really well. You know, I bring it back to the assembly for approval, but it's a one reading rather than the ordinance process of amending the budget. But in this case, we've got to go through it. Normally, we'd have to go through a full three readings. This just fell lucky that we already had a budget amendment ordinance in halfway through, or two-thirds of the way through.
Okay, so does that answer your questions,
yeah,
Kurt?
Yeah. I'd just like to continue to work that way, you know, for as enterprise funds if we can.
So is there any more discussion on Ordinance 2013-24? The main motion. Okay, will the clerk call the roll?
John Haverlett.
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John Holt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob Lynn?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2013-24 passes in its third and final reading as amended. I see Hannah, I believe that's you. You came in. Would you like to give your report this time? Yeah, just state your name and who you represent, please. You're taking over for your sister.
Kind of, not exactly. But I'm Hannah Funt, and I am the representative from the high school for the ASB, and I'm here to just tell you a little bit about what's been going on lately. So the Tsunami Bowl, the Ocean Science team, will be going up to Seward on the 27th of February, where teams from all the state compete, and the winner goes to Washington to compete. So they're working really hard, and we're excited about that. Our spirit reps have been busy, and they made a new program to encourage school spirit. Every week of the basketball games, teachers vote to pick a student that shows exceptional school spirit. Like, they're cheering, they're always there, they're very, you know, connected with the sport. Anyway, so the last 2 weeks have been Kelly Engel and Kylie Wallace. So, yeah, that's kind of a fun thing. And then the health and wellness program, as you may know, Petersburg School District received a four-year grant from the state of Alaska, and Ginger Evans is the grant coordinator. I have some papers on what all they've been doing, but I'm just going to highlight a few things. They established two teams, one for the middle school and the high school, and one for the elementary school. And some of the things they've been doing are after-school snack program for K through 12. So if you're staying for an activity or a sport or just to study, then there's snack provided. And they also gave out reflectors to the students. And teachers talked about how it's really important, you know, to be seen on the roads and to keep safe. And then basketball, homecoming 2 weeks ago, went really well, and the pep band played, and the cheerleaders cheered, and it was a really fun weekend, and I just want to thank the community and everyone who went, because it's really great. Like, I play in the pep band, it's just really great to see all the people, and I'm sure the players appreciate it, and the cheerleaders. And then last week, Ketchikan, the boys came here, and they also competed very well. And this week, the boys are going to Edgecombe and Sitka, and the Edgecombe girls are coming here to play our girls. So come out and watch, and yeah, we really appreciate the community's support. And that's all.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Is there any questions for Hannah? Yeah.
Mr. Hannah, I'd use... you maybe already know this, but a lot of people actually listen to this broadcast, so you're not just talking to the seven of us here, but
a lot of folks
that really appreciate your report and helps us keep the community informed. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for your report. Is this going to be something, Hannah, you're going to do like on a monthly basis, possibly?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for your input. Okay, back to the agenda. The next item is a ordinance for third reading. It's ordinance 2013-25, an ordinance providing for new chapters 11.04 through 11.20 of Title 11, the Borough Traffic Code. The ordinance has been amended in section 11.12.020I to better define the areas of the harbor facilities that prohibit limited use of wheeled vehicles. The ordinance has also been amended in section 11.12.010C for the request of the Fire Department Administration. This is to ensure it is clear that members under the direction of the department officers may assist in traffic direction at a scene of a fire or accident. So I'd entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2013-25 in its third and final reading.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Havlicek, seconded by Member Strand to adopt Ordinance 2013-25 in its third and final reading. Is there any discussion? So these changes, Kathy, are basically based on our discussion at the last meeting, during the second reading, about the bicycles and...
Yes, for the harbor, yeah.
And so the Fire Department one's just been added because of the reasons stated here. So do we need to vote to approve those amendments, or can we just vote the...
I would assume because it was presented to you with the amendments in it, that's what you're voting on.
In a whole. Okay, that's what I was hoping for. All right, any more discussion on this? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
John Heverlin.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2013-25 passes 7-0 in its third and final reading. Next item under old business is the Juneau appeal of Petersburg's borough boundaries. There's still no court decision yet. I believe they have until March if they use the whole time allotted to them, and I think they can even ask for an extension or give themselves an extension
on
that. So let's hope that the judge in Juneau makes a decision soon. Okay, that's it for old business. Under new business, first item there is ordinance 2014-1. That's an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.50, Hospital Board of the Municipal Code, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing provisions for the Hospital Board for the borough. This is the first reading. I'd entertain a motion to adopt 2014-1 in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to adopt Ordinance 2014-01 in its first reading. One thing that's been changed since the Hospital Board and the Assembly had their joint meeting is one of the items after the review by the borough attorney, they changed the wording back to the way it originally was, and that's under item 3.5.080, finance, and they added, it's back to where it says all loans other than the lease to purchase agreement for hospital equipment must be approved, one, by the Assembly, and two, by the voters of the borough if voter approval is required under state or borough law. So that's the only change on this. And just for information to the public, if they want to have involvement in this, since I would, you know, I don't know, I guess it's been a little controversial, the relationship between the Petersburg Medical Center and the Borough Assembly. The second reading is on February 3rd, and before the second reading, that's public hearing, so that's a great time for the public to have input, and since this is a public issue, in my opinion. And later on the agenda, Mr. Haverlick is asked to have the relationship between the Medical Center Board and the Assembly as a discussion item, so he can bring that up then. So it's enough the spiel for me. Is there any discussion on this ordinance, 2014-1?
If you, Mark, Liz, I think.
Liz?
Under 3.50.080, Finance A, I think that the borough and the hospital agreed grants would be included, Assembly or by a private request. We had the terminology grants, and that did not get added.
I do remember that being discussed.
I do remember that discussion. What section was that under, Liz? We talked about adding it. Where you think it should be added?
Letter A, under Finance, 3.50.080. At the very end, it says Assembly, comma, or by a private request or grants, something like that. We didn't, the grant part is missing.
Mr. Hogue.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move amendment to this ordinance to amend Section A of 3.50080 to add, take out the or, put a comma by private request, and add an or by a grant at the end of that section.
Is there a second on that amendment? Okay, there's been an amendment made, or a motion for an amendment to be made under Section 3.5.80A on the last sentence, and as Mr. Hogue said, the changes. Any discussion on that amendment? Thanks for bringing that up, Liz. Will the clerk call the roll on the amendment to this section of the ordinance then?
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John Haverlick?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, so the amendment to add that language to include grants under that section has passed. Is there any discussion on the main motion? Mr. Hoke?
It is my understanding, Mr. Mayor, that one of Assemblymember Flint's last acts was to sit down with Tom Abbott, the chair, and go through this, and it is, although you haven't met formally, is my understanding, as a board, but there appeared to be concurrence that, this ordinance as written is acceptable, maybe acceptable to hospital administration and board.
Yes, we have a board meeting Thursday, so the board has not had a chance to review.
But you can all come back next time to give us a formal appraisal on that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any more discussion on this ordinance? Ordinance 2014-1. Will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
John Haverlick?
No.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John Ho?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Okay, it passes 5-2 with Assemblymember Lynn and Haverlick voting no for the first reading. That brings us to Ordinance 2014-2, an ordinance amending the official zoning map for Service Area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone Lot 3 of the subdivision of Tract B of the Olson subdivision from single-family residential to commercial 2, in the parenthesis C2, with special limitations. This is the first reading. The Planning Commission has recommended that Lots 3 and 4 of the Tract B subdivision of the Olson subdivision be rezoned from single family residential to commercial -2, subject to conditions. Entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2014-02 in its first reading.
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay, there's been a motion made to adopt Ordinance 2014-02. Is there, I'll ask one more time, is there a second? Okay, seeing there's no second, the ordinance fails in its first reading. Okay, the next item on the agenda is Ordinance 2014-03, an ordinance amending the office zoning map, official, I would imagine what that word's supposed to say. Zoning map for Service Area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone Lot 4 of the subdivision of Tract B of the Olson subdivision from single-family residential to commercial 2-2, parenthesis C-2, with special limitations. This is the first reading. The Planning Commission has also recommended that Lots 3 and 4 of the Tract B subdivision of Olson subdivision be rezoned from single-family residential to commercial -2, subject to conditions. Note, all attachments for Ordinance 2014-02 also apply to Ordinance 2014-03. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
It's been moved by Member Wallhuter. Is there a second for Ordinance 2014-03? Seeing no second for Ordinance 2014-03, the ordinance fails in its first reading. Next item under new business is item D. It's the A&B and A&S request for donated meeting space. October 7th through 11th, 2014, the Alaskan Native Brotherhood and Alaskan Native Sisterhood will be holding the annual Grand Camp in Petersburg. They are seeking donated meeting space at the community gym for the event. So, is there anybody who'd like to make a motion to talk about this request?
Mr. Mayor, I'd move to donate the meeting space.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Wallhuter to accept the request for donated meeting space to A&B A&S for their meeting in October of 2014. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I need to abstain because I am a member of AMBANS and I helped draft this letter.
Okay, but there's no monetary gain on your part by it, I wouldn't imagine, so you could probably vote if you'd like. But in fact, I don't know if it's required, and I know you have to vote unless you could prove there's a conflict, but we'll let you off the hook.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Mayor? Yeah, I'd like to know from Diane, how much do we usually rent this space for?
Well, there's still a lot of questions involved. I've yet to talk to anybody, or no one's come and talked to me about this situation. So there's questions of amount of time, do they need tables, do they need chairs, those types of things. But the guesstimate, I mean, for Tuesday through Saturday would probably be about $1,000, depending on if they need the activity room or if they need a racquetball room. If it's just the community gym and just and that's it, you're probably looking at about $700.
And do you have you made this type of exemption before for any group?
I've never made that exemption for anybody.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion with Assembly Member Hogue?
Well, I'm torn on this one. On one hand, the folks that have requested this have been a good neighbor, and they provide a lot of worth to the community, and we all benefit from it, whether we're members of their organization or not. On the other hand, Donnie has written a pretty good memo asking us if we're going to start making exceptions, where, how and where are we going to be consistent? And that troubles me also. So I am really torn on what to do with this because, you know, this is a fine organization, but others are going to come forward who can also claim they're benefiting the community. And where do we have some consistency? And that's my concern.
Yeah, and I, of course, Nancy, you have a...
I'm in agreement, and while I think this gathering is an excellent use of the community gym, I am inclined to agree with Donnie when he asks that the Assembly allow the department to work directly with Ross and Brenda Louise to come up with a favorable solution. Most notably, I have problems providing free Wi-Fi to anyone, and... That's one of the things that Donnie brings up. I think these things probably need to be addressed before we just give blanket approval.
Any more discussion? Kurt?
Mr. Mayor?
1 second, and I'll get right to you next, okay, Cindy?
Sure.
Okay.
Would it be okay if I address this to Ross? Could he tell me how many people he plans on having come to town?
Can we get the Assembly input as a whole first, and then you could ask him?
I want to know them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that all right with you? Cindy? Sorry, Bob.
Yes.
Do you have a comment?
I have some information. ANBANS anticipates that about 300 people will be coming to town. We also anticipate that elected officials will be coming to speak to this Assembly, and we will need tables and chairs and some additional meeting rooms in order to conduct business. It's not a money-making enterprise. It is just simply a gathering of ANBANS members throughout Southeast Alaska.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Lynn?
I have the same problem that Mr. Hogan, Nancy, do about this. I don't think there's sufficient information out there yet to make a decision on what this Assembly should do. That was pretty loose. And I think the question about Wi-Fi and what we're going to do in the future also is part of it. I think it really, really ought to table it and let folks, you know, pin it down a little bit more to see what's needed. Right now, if I was to vote, I'd vote no, because I don't see any difference in this particular proposal than some other proposals and some other events that have taken place.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, since I made the motion, could I counter that with a motion to table this till we get more information?
Maybe we should finish our discussion and then let everybody have their say.
Sure.
Ross wanted to come up and say a piece, but I'm kind of in agreement. Without more information, I'd like to have, Parks and Rec director asked, is to work with Brenda Louise and Ross with ANB and ANS and get a more firmed up idea. And, mm-hmm. and if we do start letting the gym or the facilities be used for no cost, then we might be setting a precedent. So we need to be careful about that. So, Ross, would you like to get up and say something? Yeah.
So, my name is Ross Nanick III. I am currently the Alaska Native Brotherhood Camp 16 president. And as far as numbers, there could be anywhere from 200 to 400 people that could come here. And as far as use of the facilities, we would probably need the rec room for preparing our continental breakfasts and such, and other places for various committee meetings and stuff. There will be state officials coming. There will be a lot of organizations such as Search and the Forest Service. They will send people. You know, so it's a very big thing. And the last time we had a convention here was 1971, and I believe it was held down at the Sons of Norway Hall. You know, so it's been a while. And it's something that we've been working towards for a long time. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to make this a successful event. But, I had wanted to talk with Don about what exactly we needed. And right now we're still in the state planning stage, setting up our committees and going forward. Because this will be in October. Generally, we have early registration on Tuesday. The meetings don't begin till Wednesday, and they go till Saturday. Sometimes we will wrap up by Friday, but Saturday we generally have the grand ball and the installation of officers. It's a very wonderful event. It's very a lot of fun. A lot of we follow Robert's Rules of Order. It's very orderly, you know.
I'm sorry.
But there are things we're still working on. We're still building towards it. We're gaining steam.
Okay, thanks. And sounds like it'd be good to maybe have communication with Donnie, and we'll go from there. But John, you wanted to make a motion to rescind your motion?
Yes.
Is that okay with us?
I rescind my motion and table the discussion for a future meeting.
Okay, is that all right with us? Second? I don't know who made the second.
Is that me?
Yeah. Cindy. Cindy. I lost track. All right, so all those in favor of tabling this to a future meeting, do we have to pick a time certain?
No, I just put a clarifier on it that you want to postpone it for the Parks and Rec director to meet with them.
Come back to the assembly with some more information. Okay, so that sounds like that's what we'll be voting on. You call the roll, Kathy?
John Heffernan.
Yes.
John Ho.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
And Mark.
Yes. Okay, that brings us to item E under new business, and it's federal lobbying priorities. The borough's federal lobbyists are seeking direction from the assembly on what priorities should be sought for the community in the upcoming federal fiscal year. And we have a list that was sent to us by Brad Gilman, I believe.
Actually, this is ours.
This list, but he's looked at it, and or has he?
If I may.
Yes.
Brad asked us to prepare the list. Senator Begich will take the full list, but likes us to have at least the top three prioritized. Senator Murkowski just wants three, but Brad feels he can probably slip some of the others in, but and Representative Young doesn't want anything. In lieu of not having earmarks, he doesn't see the need for this. So, that being said, we've started to get the requests from Senator Begich and Senator Murkowski for this list. Our federal lobbyist will prepare all that. They just need guidance from the assembly. The list that you see in your packets is many of the items are from past years. I added those things to it as the year goes by that are federal type issues. So it's kind of a running tab of them. And at this point, this is the list. Doesn't mean it's complete. So, and we can add to it. But I need the assembly to kind of bless the list, tell me if you want me to add anything else to it, and maybe pick the top three if you feel up to it.
I know there was an email from Member Hoag that said this list is as prioritized as good as any, and if you look at them, the payment in lieu of taxes is the top one on this list, funding for reauthorization of secure rural schools, and the essential air service funding, which are all three big financial issues for not only Petersburg, but many areas. So, personally, you know, if they only want the top three, a couple of the representatives, I think this list is in order, unless there's, that's just my opinion. Any other comments by any other assembly members? So I guess we'll be voting to send this list out as the manager has prepared it. Did you've seen the list, Cindy? I'm sure you have.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, so you're hearing the discussion. So is there any more discussion on this list as it's prioritized, or can we send it to our delegation like this? I guess to Mr. Haberler?
Do we need to put this in the form of a motion? I don't know.
Kathy, what do you
think? We're seeking direction from the assembly. If we just approve the list as it is, I don't know if
that works.
So the vote would be to Mr. Walhuter.
I would like to see if we can't move the sea mammal issues a little higher on this list, seeing how that is a big concern for our community right now. I don't know how far up the list, but I mean, I don't know if it even is going to matter.
Yes. Number four wouldn't hurt, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, number four would be fine with me. Okay. I don't. If they only want three,
yeah. Well, yeah. That's what I mean. Well, I'm just saying, if it seems like it's a higher priority for us, well, then maybe
you know, it is a higher priority for us. Let's face it.
I think it is too.
Big risk for an invasion that'll require homeland security right now.
So I'd be in favor of moving it up to four. That's all right with you.
I can do that.
I'd agree too.
That's what the assembly wants.
Sure.
Okay, so I guess with that being discussed, if the sea mammal issue, including sea otter and stellar sea lions, would go right under essential air service, and if that's the way it's going to be, if everybody's fine with that, call a roll on that, Kathy, I guess, to send it off in that form.
Okay, Bob?
Yes.
John Haberle?
Yes.
John Hole?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
And Mark?
Yes. Okay, next item on the agenda is communications, and I don't have any to report. Is there any other assembly members that have communications they want to report at this time? Seeing none. Assembly discussion items. Recognitions. This agenda item is reserved to acknowledge individuals, groups, departments, agencies, or anyone for their contributions toward the betterment of the Petersburg community. Anybody have any recognition to see me? Start on the end, Mr. Haverlick.
I was remiss in last meeting not recognizing Matt Lichtenstein for his 19 years of service. He did a great job, and I really appreciate him. Looking forward to working with Joe.
Member Hope?
I would like to recognize Officer Williams. She was a recipient of the Force Science Scholarship and took part in that week-long class in Phoenix this last week. It is a tough class. The class has homework. They are graded on tests, and it is a pass-fail test, but since I graded about half of those tests, I can state with certainty that she did a very good job.
All right. Thank you. Good job. Any other recognitions? I would like to reiterate what Assemblymember Haverlick said about Matt. He's been enjoyable to work with as a reporter. He's sat through a lot of boring meetings. Okay, next item is the Assembly has mail-in elections. The Assembly has been provided with written comments received since the last meeting via traditional email and Facebook. Clerk O'Rear has provided a report with general information regarding by mail elections. Along with the report is a cost comparison estimate and election turnout history of Petersburg. And the report also contains information on the state of Oregon's vote-by-mail elections history and voter fraud information. So there's a list of things there. Anybody want to discuss these items?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
The having participated for years with vote by mail, I found it to be a handy and efficient factor. It did increase participation. On the other hand, we're looking at about a $6,000 cost more.
At least. Yeah.
And being a tightwad with the budget right now, I think that is simply we ought to stick with show up and provide the effort to go. And we've got a very liberal absentee ballot policy, so mm-hmm. I don't see the need to change something that is going to cost a bunch of money and it's not totally broke.
Okay, any other comments on this information? Kathy, refresh my memory on this issue. We're just still garnering input, and this is going to be on the ballot?
No, it's not going to be the attorney right now is actually redrafting our election ordinance, and this was a matter that came up. Do we want to provide it all for mail-in elections? Mm-hmm. And based on the information we gathered on it, I agree with John, the cost is almost prohibited for our small community to go to by mail elections. So I will probably let the attorneys know that to proceed on drafting the ordinance similar to how we've always have done it before. But I do have one question. Would the assembly be interested in allowing special elections to be held by mail? We don't have that many. In the last 13 years, I don't think we've had more than three special elections ever. Special elections are usually, I don't like them. Because to me it's always a special interest that's put on that special ballot, special election ballot, and you always have your supporters out for it. But you do have a bigger return in a mail-in election. So if you want to consider mail-in, you might want to maybe consider allowing it for special. If not, we'll stick with how we've always done it.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Mr. Hogan.
I'd ask, what is your recommendation, Kathy?
I think because of the expense, I would stay with what we have, in-person voting and voting in the office and absentee.
Thank you.
I think
you.
It works good.
Okay.
Yes.
Should have asked you this earlier, Kathy. Could we have the ordinance written on special elections that it's the assembly's call on each election? Meaning
you could do that.
To leave it wide open in the sense that you never know.
The thing is that gets confusing to your voters, though. Sure. They don't know if you're going to be voting in mail, in person or by mail.
Makes sense. Fair.
But the majority of the communities in Alaska do provide special election by mail. We don't have to.
Kathy, refresh my memory on absentee. It's 30 days before.
20.
20 days before.
20 days.
Is that by law or was that in the ordinance?
It's in our ordinance, and I think it's pretty much what the state says, too, when they conduct an election.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Cindy.
I wondered, we asked for public response. What was the public response?
From the ones I read, it looked like it was, I don't know if it was 50-50 or more in favor of mail or in-person elections. Kathy, did you tally it up?
The majority was. We didn't get that much response, but the majority was to keep it the way we have it.
Okay, thank you.
And, Mr. Mayor, if I may, one of the reasons we even considered this was we weren't sure if this would be a benefit to those folks living off the road system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we thought, well, maybe this would make it easier. It actually appeared from the responses we got that folks off the road system were pretty much across the board, I mean, with a couple of exceptions, we're in favor of keeping it the way it was rather than going to mail-in. So it.
And I think that's because we do have a pretty liberal absentee vote process that we use here. So
okay.
We're looking for election workers.
So is there any more discussion on by mail elections issue?
Still got another thought on that.
Mr. Mayor, who would people contact if they were interested in helping be an election official? Because I have been approached by several people.
Good.
Probably be the city clerk.
To me,
We can advertise for that maybe at our next meeting. When's the first reading of that ordinance? You know, we're waiting for this information.
You might have it the first meeting in February. If not, you'll have it by the second, probably.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Lynn?
with the mailing, Kathy, with the way the mail works today, is 20 days sufficient?
Yeah,
if,
it is.
If you're...
Yeah. If we give it more of a time frame, then we're starting to put the whole candidate filing even further back and start to take a six-month process.
And if I may, and I'm... we have some residents of the borough now that the growl's up at Farragut Bay. He mentioned, as we were talking through some of this, that there's, on the federal elections, there's, he was able to order a special ballot, like, sound almost like 90 days ahead of the election. Is that a federal, I mean, I don't think...
If their ballot is set, it's probably set a lot earlier than ours.
Got
we're
it.
Following,
okay.
You know, some timetables.
Yeah, I didn't think that applied to the state ballot, but he had brought it up on that.
Any more questions about the by-mail elections? I guess we're going to have three readings on it, so
yeah.
We'll have plenty of time for more discussion.
The attorneys just to keep it the way we have it.
Okay, and it could always be amended through the ordinance process. Okay, next item under council discussion is relationship between the medical center and the borough. This discussion item was requested by Member Haverlick, so... John, do you want to...
Sure. Yeah. The reason I brought this up, Mr. Mayor, is in the meeting we had with the hospital a couple weeks ago with the hospital administration and some of the board members, in going through the previous city resolution and the upcoming ordinance, it still seems like it's way too much of a gray area, and I hate gray areas. I like black or white, you know. It's, so a lot of this is my concern that the resolution should state that either the hospital be on their own 100% as was discussed in that meeting, or they be similar to one of the borough departments. And the concern I have with this is if the hospital is going to be, if we know that they're going to be totally independent financially forever, like they have been for the last 60, 70 years or however long they've been going, no problem. But if they aren't, then I feel that the borough is going to be accountable for tax money going in there. And if we're accountable for tax money, then I feel we have to have say in how things are running and what and how things are done.
Okay, is that
pretty? Yeah, I wrote out these 10 areas,
right,
and gave it to all the members. But that's I don't want to go through reading all of those and bore everybody to death. But it's, to me, it has to be black or white, because if we're going to be responsible for tax money, we have to have some direction over how that's used. Just like we do in all our enterprise funds.
Right. Okay, Mr. Hogue?
I share Member Havlicek's concern that I don't think the charter was well written in this area. I think it is an area that is gray. I am pleased that through meetings, the code at least has been pounded out, hopefully, to both sides' satisfaction. But there's a couple of... John, I think you are mistaken in that they were for the last 65 years independent. That's simply not the case. From this, I mean, this, as I read the code previously in the city charter, their existence was as part of the city, and that the powers to be set those folks up, probably recognizing that a hospital is run very differently,
right,
than a government, you know, like the borough.
Yeah. And
set
I was,
them up
I was
is,
speaking specifically of financially,
yeah,
independent.
Yeah, but hang on. Okay. The other thing, once, any way you can cut it, if they're still part of us and there's ultimate financial responsibility, number one. Number two, once PERS, the state PERS system, which we all know is underfunded and
right,
been a historical disaster, it isn't going to go away tomorrow, the state said to the city, to put the hospital people in PERS, the city's got to bless it. And it was blessed a long time ago. Nobody had the underfunding problems probably back then. And this is, of course, not unique to Alaska. I spent more time than I want to talk about dealing with Oregon's PERS issues. But the problem is I don't think we could easily say you're separate sayonara because of that, if no other reason. The second issue is, and what I've seen down south where I spent most of my time working in Oregon and Washington, is the problem is you've got a tax base that people are only going to want to pay so much. You've got a box there. Where you have down south independent school districts who can put money on the ballot, and independent other taxing agencies such as fire districts, water districts that can put money on the ballots, you have this huge food fight sometimes to get your money on the ballot versus your money on the ballot and hope the voters will pass yours versus theirs. At least we have a unified system where the responsibility for, you know, what the taxes are going to be for the citizens are being ultimately controlled by the assembly. You know, we're putting something to them by the voters as opposed to three different governmental entities in conflict with each other. And it got worse in Oregon because there was a property tax limitation measure that passed statewide. Once you hit that limit, if anybody gains, everybody else loses. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something that we should all talk about when we look at the charter, because I do agree with you that I don't think it's well written. I think it's a gray area. I think we should put this issue to bed. And personally, I don't see any reason to stop the medical center from having an independent elected board because of the difference in their mission versus our mission. But anyway, that's my thoughts on it.
So, any other, Mr. Lynn?
Yeah, and Nancy, join in here if you might. When we wrote the charter, as Nancy and I are both on the charter committee, this was one of the issues in the charter that had very strong support from the community to make it independent. And I think, by and large, I think that the charter committee, the commission, almost universally believed the same thing, John. And so, although I agree with John, it needs to be, you know, written out, spelled out fairly well. I feel very strongly after spending many, many weeks, you know, working on that part of it, that I think that the folks, it needs to be somewhat independent. I mean, I haven't been convinced otherwise yet, or haven't seen anything otherwise that would change my mind, John.
Okay, thank you. And now that we've put it on the next meeting's agenda to discuss our charter, that's something we can discuss, is that section of the charter. And we're also, you know, we passed the first reading of the ordinance for the guidelines for the medical center. And then, maybe, like I said earlier, if there are people from the public are interested in giving some input, they'll come to the public hearing on February 3rd. And then we'll, you know, get their input and go through the three reading process. But any more comments? Okay. Would anybody from the staff or hospital board like to make a comment? We could always have another work session if mom's at work. We'll talk to you after your next meeting on the 23rd.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I move we go into executive session to discuss issues with Attorney Brennan regarding the litigation and the Ellingson and Green matter.
Second.
Okay.
Prior to the vote, I did ask Community Development Director Leo Luzak and Public Works Director Carl Hagerman to join us in executive session, if that's okay with the Assembly. They've got some expert
It sounds
issues.
Like a good idea. Okay, so Member Hoges made a motion to go into executive session for the Assembly to meet with the attorney to discuss the Karen Ellingstead-Fred Treem issue. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, I didn't catch that. I was asleep.
I interrupted.
All those in favor of going into executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Cindy, you're going to join us?